They fled from tyranny. Your oppressions planted them in America. And yet, actuated by principles of true English liberty, they met all hardships with pleasure compared with those they suffered in their own country from the hands of those that should have been their friends. Men whose behavior on many occasions has caused the blood of those sons of liberty to recoil within them.
I know not what course others meet, but as for me, give me liberty.
Liberty.
Or give me death.
Believe me, remember, I this day told you so. That same spirit of freedom which actuated that people at first will accompany them still. But a people jealous of their liberties,
liberty,
and who will vindicate them if ever they should be violated. Sons of liberty.
Sons of liberty. Sons of liberty. Liberty.
Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God.
Who controls the past, controls the future. Who controls the present, controls the past.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat Al-Qaeda.
All you gotta do is start looking around, start thinking for yourself, start investigating things, and you will see it all right there. So you have the power. Humanity has the power. We have the power. Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It's Tuesday, March 19th, 2013. I'm David Knight, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, the symbolism is strong as a wave of bombs tear through Iraq, killing 65 people on the eve of the 10th anniversary of the U.S.-led invasion. Then, the lie that got us in. The Bush administration knew there were no WMDs in Iraq. Plus, a congressman is asking Big Sis to explain the huge ammo purchases by the DHS, and millions of Chase Bank customers see their bank balances reduced to zero. That's coming up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, it's been a decade since the United States invaded Iraq under the false pretenses of them having weapons of mass destruction. And today, the AP reported on USA Today that a wave of bombings tore through Iraq on Tuesday, killing 65 people on the eve of the 10th anniversary of the U.S.-led invasion, and showing how unstable Iraq remains more than a year after the withdrawal of American troops. And they're talking about that instability. They say instead of a solidly pro-U.S. regime, the Iraqis now have a Shiite-led government that is arguably closer to Tehran than to Washington. So what kind of results have we gotten after 10 years of effort in Iraq? What have we really accomplished? Well, there's a civil war going on between two Muslim factions, the Sunnis and the Shiites. And the Shiites are actually the allies of the people that we're told now are our greatest enemies, Iran. And those are the Shiites that we put in control. And what did it cost us to get these kinds of results? Well, in terms of lives, it cost over 4,500 American soldiers' lives. Over 32,000 were wounded. That's officially the account. The unofficial account goes to over 100,000. Over 100,000 Iraqis were killed, and the official unofficial counts put that as 190,000. And monetary cost, $2.2 trillion. Now, we were originally told that that was going to only be about 50 to 60 billion. I say only. That's small only if you're talking in terms of Pentagon type of numbers. But it was actually 44 times higher than what we were told. And it's kind of interesting to note that as we were pulling out a couple of years ago, the press reported that nearly $300 million worth of equipment and supplies were left behind. And at the time, the Pentagon said, well, it would have cost us nearly twice that much to bring it back to America, to transport it back to America. Well, that's interesting because just within the last couple of weeks, we've seen that over 2,700 APC, armored personnel carriers, have been repurposed for use in America from these foreign wars abroad. Now, here's what we were told 10 years ago by Colin Powell in an effort to justify the invasion of Iraq.
But how much longer are we willing to put up with Iraq's noncompliance before we, as a council, we as the United Nations say, enough, enough? The gravity of this moment is matched by the gravity of the threat that Iraq's weapons of mass destruction pose to the world. One of the most worrisome things that emerges from the thick intelligence file we have on Iraq's biological weapons is the existence of mobile production facilities used to make biological agents. Let me take you inside that intelligence file and share with you what we know from eyewitness accounts. We have first-hand descriptions of biological weapons factories on wheels and on rails.
The regime is seeking a nuclear bomb.
It concludes that Iraq has chemical and biological weapons, that Saddam has continued to produce them.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Weapons of mass death.
But we now know that Saddam has resumed his efforts to acquire nuclear weapons.
There are Al-Qaeda in Iraq.
Saddam Hussein cavorts with terrorists.
Saddam Hussein possesses biological and chemical weapons.
CIA officials warn members of the president's staff the intelligence was not good enough to make the statement, Iraq tried to buy uranium from Africa.
Everybody knows that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction.
I have reason, every reason to believe that the intelligence that we were operating off was correct.
Why did you lie to get us into a war that was not necessary that has caused these kinds of casualties? Why?
Well, first of all, I haven't lied. It appears that there were not weapons of mass destruction there.
You said you knew where they were.
I did not. I said I knew where suspect sites were.
You said you knew where they were, near Tikrit, near Baghdad, and northeast, south, and west of there.
We know where they are. They're in the area around Tikrit and Baghdad and east, west, south, and north.
You, along with President Bush, top administration officials, made a total of 935 false public statements in an orchestrated attempt to take this nation to war. This study has found that you, Madam Secretary, made 56 false statements to the American people, where you repeatedly pump up the case that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. Isn't it true that you had intelligence that cast doubt on your repeated claims that Iraq did not have weapons of mass destruction?
No, it's not true, Congressman.
That's right. Before the shock and awe, we had the scheme and lie that we got from Powell, from Cheney, and from Bush, who was ultimately responsible for that. And antiwar.com, John Glazer reports a couple of quotes here about the lies that got us into the war. He said the Bush administration knew there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And to back that assertion up, he has a quote from Paul Pillar, the CIA officer who led the effort to provide Congress with the information. And he said, quote, the atmosphere in which they were working, in which a policy decision clearly had already been made, in which intelligence was being looked to support that decision rather than to inform decisions that had yet to be made, was a very important part of the atmosphere, unquote. And the chief of staff for Colin Powell reported that Powell himself said, quote, I wonder what will happen when we put 500,000 troops into Iraq and comb the country from one end to the other and find nothing. Well, now we know absolutely nothing. The press basically gave them cover, didn't really hold their feet to the fire. And as it has come out that these are lies, we'll be talking about this a little bit later with Aaron Dykes. We're going to look at what happened and what the media did and didn't do. And what they haven't really even done today in terms of the 10-year anniversary, there hasn't been a lot of retrospection to say, was it worth it? Was it real? What was this all about? But yet, when this was all happening, Alex Jones was telling us even before this happened, he was calling BS on what was going on. He knew exactly what Colin Powell was going to say. He's on record as saying about the kind of lies that they were going to tell us. and now it's been proved correct. And remember that Colin Powell even tried to scare us about Iraqi drones that were supposedly carrying weapons of mass destruction. Now, our government could be run by paranoid conspiracy theorists, could it? And yet, even when DARPA is funding these exact type of programs and things that are actually far worse, when we report on it, that's what we're accused of being. So that brings us to our quote of the day. And this is from Arthur Schlesinger, junior historian. And he says, President Bush has adopted a policy of anticipatory self-defense that is alarmingly similar to the policy that Imperial Japan employed at Pearl Harbor on a date which, as an earlier American president said it would, lives in infamy. Franklin D. Roosevelt was right, but today it is we Americans who live in infamy. The point being is that even if these charges of weapons of mass destruction were true, according to long-standing rules of justification of war, that's why we called the sneak attack by Pearl Harbor, we call that a day of infamy, because we had not attacked them yet. Certainly, we were gearing up for war with them, and certainly we had a lot more capability to go with them, to war with them, than Iraq had to go with war to go war with us. Yet, it still was not justified when they attacked us first. And where do we get those ethics from? Well, that's basically been the standard of ethics for 1,600 years since St. Augustine laid out the just war, just theory of war for Christians, and that's basically the morality that we followed in this country for 1,600 years. But we kind of threw that away with this whole idea of preemptively attacking other people. That's something that the Japanese did at Pearl Harbor. It's something that was resurrected by George Bush, and now that seems to be the permanent policy of America. And it is a morally unjust policy. Well, if we can't count on them to tell us the truth about weapons of mass destruction, or we can't count on them to do the right thing morally, I wonder if we can really count on them to do the right thing when it comes to surveillance in this country. Google Glass is now on the horizon. And in an article from The Telegraph, it says, Google Glass is simply Orwellian surveillance with fluffier branding. That's a great way to put it. Nick Pickles, director of Big Brother Watch in the UK, says the new technology will make us all agents for Google. He says the implications for privacy are profoundly worrying. And here's a quote from him. He says, imagine if Google or Facebook decided to install their own closed-circuit television cameras everywhere, gathering data about our movements, recording our lives, and joining up every camera in the land into one giant control room. It's Orwellian surveillance with fluffier branding. And this isn't just video surveillance. Glass uses audio recording, too. For added impact, if you're not content with Google analyzing the data, the person can share it to social media as they see fit as well. Everything you see, Google sees. You don't own the data, you don't control the data, and you definitely don't know what happens to the data. To put it another way, what would you say if instead of it being Google Glass, it was government glass? Well, unfortunately, there's not such a clear line between Google and the government as this UK privacy expert would like to believe. Back in 2006, in an interview with Robert David Steele, a 20-year Marine Corps infantry and intelligence officer and former officer with the CIA, Alex Jones had that interview with him, and he told Alex that there is a small but significant relationship between the CIA and Google. And in 2010, there was quite a bit of talk about Google executives holding meetings with U.S. national security officials for undisclosed reasons. That was reported by the Washington Post, and a lot of consumer groups were concerned about that. And this brings up a real important issue for privacy, as he said, who controls this data and what are they going to do with it? It's very troubling when we look at the connection between Google and the CIA. We know that that information flows very easily between them, and we know that the Utah Data Center, it's coming online later this year, is being set up to be able to record everything electronically that happens anywhere in the world, especially in the United States. Well, Chase customers got an interesting treat yesterday. Well, Paul Joseph Watson reports on InfoWars Today that Chase customers see their bank balance reduced to zero. Millions of Chase bank customers were affected by an unfortunately timed glitch, which resulted in their checking and savings accounts showing a zero balance for several hours yesterday, prompting many to take to Twitter and express panic that their money had been stolen. And I guess my favorite tweet from all of that was one fellow who said, surprisingly, the money I owe you is still there. So the bank didn't lose what he owed them. They just lost what he had in the bank. So how is that cashless society working out for you? They may call it a glitch or they may call it a haircut, but the bank has the ability to steal money out of your account, as we've seen the last couple of days, first in Cyprus where they just stole money out of people's account, called it a haircut. Or we can see that your electronic funds can just disappear with a glitch. So we might want to rethink going totally into a cashless society. It's an element of trust there that we don't quite believe that the banks have deserved. We have a report coming up from David Ortiz telling us about some victories in liberty. And right after that report, we're going to be talking about some updates to the fight for the Second Amendment.
I'm David Ortiz with a victory update. Well, the liberty movement often accomplishes wonderful things, but rarely are they reminded of all their great accomplishments. Let's recap some of the key victories that have recently taken place. The most notable key victory that recently took place is the fact that Senator Rand Paul promoted the Bill of Rights in a large-scale fashion by filibustering the nomination of John Brennan. As a result of his actions, he severely fractured the dinosaur Republican Party and won the CPAC poll.
One thing's for sure, Republicans want to win. And another thing's for sure, they haven't been winning in national elections lately. And another thing that's for sure is that there's a battle for the soul of the party. And there appear to be two wings. It appears that Rand Paul just made his entrance onto the national stage.
Now, while I am well aware Senator Paul is not a full-fledged libertarian and that he tragically endorsed political prostitute Mitt Romney, there is no doubt if he were to run for president, his platform would be far more palatable than the platforms of his expected opponents. Speaking of the dinosaur neocon party, another victory that recently took place is the fact that Republican Party Chairman Reince Priebus publicly acknowledged that his office will no longer demonize libertarians, but rather welcome them into the fray.
I want to reach out. I mean, the fact of the matter is we're not going to grow our party by closing doors. So, first of all, everyone's welcome, especially people who love and believe in liberty, freedom, the Bill of Rights, James Madison, all the things that motivated me at 16 to do every job there was in the party to today. And I know that we have to reach out, we need to build our party, and that is a massively growing part of our party, and we would be fools not to welcome in the liberty movement in this party and across America, and you're going to see it.
Let's see if he follows through on his promise. And even though the federal government continues to act tyrannical, many states are taking advantage of their 10th Amendment rights. Let's take a look at the current tally. According to the 10th Amendment Center, marijuana bills either for medical or personal usage are currently being proposed in 15 states. Because of your advocacy, medical marijuana is already legal in over 15 states and the District of Columbia, and is legal for personal usage in 2 states. NDAA nullification bills have been introduced in 17 states, and one of those states, Virginia, has already passed the bill. In the 16 remaining states, they have passed one house in 3 states. Pro-Second Amendment bills have been introduced in 28 states. In Montana, such a bill simply needs the governor's signature to become law. In 5 of these states, these bills have passed one house. In reference to Obamacare, currently 9 states have introduced bills aimed at nullifying this federal power grab. So far, the bill has passed one house in 1 state. Drone regulation bills have been introduced in 22 states. Of those states, 1 state has fully passed the measure, Virginia. Well, that's all for our victory update. I'm David Ortiz, reminding you that despite all the tyranny we hear about, the liberty movement is making significant headway.
Well, we've seen the information that started here at InfoWars with research by Paul Joseph Watson into large ammunition purchases by the Department of Homeland Security. We were routinely criticized for that. We saw the mainstream media, the Associated Press, and others attack and criticize us for that. They focused on 0.1% of the purchases and ignore the other 99.9% of the purchases. I mean that literally. Actually, it was worse than that. When the Department of Homeland Security was purchasing $200 million, they talked about 194,000 purchase that was being done by them. So, and then it doubled down again. So now we're up to a couple of billion, and the mainstream media is now picking it up. Forbes is talking about it, and now we have a congressman. In an article today, we have a congressman who is asking Big Sis to explain huge ammo purchases. He said, I think Congress should ask the department about both of those issues, and I would like a full explanation as to why that has been done. And I have every confidence that the Oversight Committee should ask those questions. Now, this is New Jersey Congressman Leonard Lance, a Republican. He went on to say that he was concerned and that his goal was to ensure that Americans, quote, continued to live in a country based on freedom and individual rights. Yes, that's our concern as well, and that's why we're reporting these. And we do need to have a national discussion, and we do need to have an explanation as to what the purpose is of these large ammunition buys. Are they there to conduct a war against American citizens, or are they there to dry up the supply of ammunition? Now, along the gun control front, we also had some breaking news today. Feinstein's gun ban bill is crumbling. It looks like that was taken out of the committee, and that's not going to be something that is going to be part of the main Second Amendment attack. Today, a California Democrat and influential Senator Dianne Feinstein admitted that her gun ban proposals will not be part of a Democrat bill to roll back the Second Amendment. Her bill proposed making illegal 157 models of semi-automatic firearms that Democrats characterize as assault weapons and outlaw so-called high-capacity magazines. Senate Judiciary Democrats have approved what they describe as a gun trafficking bill, a measure to expand background checks, and a proposal to increase school safety following the shooting at Sandy Hook School in Connecticut. Well, this is something that we're all very concerned about, the Second Amendment attack. I believe, though, that instead of Feinstein actually being foiled, as the headline article on the Drudge Report says, I believe that she was part of a diversion to get us away from what the real attack is. Now, of course, ultimately, the purpose is outright gun confiscation. But before they can do that, they need to have much more comprehensive registration. And the UN Arms Trade Treaty is back now. They're working on that. That began this week, just as this bill is moving forward. And both that treaty and Fast and Furious were designed to control the transfer of arms, say across borders or between individuals. In order to do that, they're going to try to justify that by registration. And registration is going to precede confiscation. They want to get a better database so they can do a more thorough job of confiscation. Dianne Feinstein has been used in the past for the NDAA as well as other things to basically create a diversion, to create a smokescreen for what the real agenda was. And I believe, and I've said this all along, that I believe that the real purpose has been more comprehensive registration. And it appears that the Republicans and perhaps even the NRA is going to join the Democrats in this registration effort. Well, we're going to take a break, and right after the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Iraq War and the 10-year anniversary with Aaron Dykes and with Darren McBreen. So stay tuned.
I'm Darren McBreen, and these are some of the new items that are available now at InfoWarsShop.com.
Alert the public to Obama's blatant abuse of power with the new Obama t-shirt. Obama's Joker face on the front and come and take it on the back. It's time to publicly call him out for what he is, a tyrant. Defend the Second Amendment with our top seller come and take it t-shirts. And look at that, women's cut tank tops and t-shirts now available. Nice hat. Plus the Don't Tread on Me flag. And now you can become a micro distributor of the InfoWars magazine. Plus, get your own copy delivered right to your door each and every month. And if you're tired like I am of you and your family being exposed to polluted drinking water, get the Pro One High Performance Water Filter. It gets rid of all pathogenic bacteria, cysts, fluoride, heavy metals, and numerous other contaminants.
So join the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
Jakari Jackson here, and I want to talk to you for a second about water. You know about ProPure, our flagship water purification system, but check out some of our portable water filter products at InfoWarsStore.com. The clearly filtered water pitcher. Also, for those of you on the go, we have the Athlete Edition filtered water bottle. And the RAD Eliminator Pro Filtered Sports Bottle that removes radiation. And keep in mind, we have replacement filters for all of these products. The ever-popular grab-and-go bag favorite, the Life Straw. The Crystal Quest Shower Filter System. And the Aquapod Kit, great for mass storage of water. And while you're at the InfoWars shop, pick up a copy of our latest book, 31 Days to Survival. You can find all this and more at the InfoWarsStore.com. And don't forget, it's your support that funds our operation. Sign up for our free newsletter at InfoWars.com/newsletter.
InfoWars Magazine is more than just our answer to the internet kill switch. We're also going back to the roots of this country. When our founders, for a decade before 1776, known as the pamphleteers, with hundreds of little printing presses in every colony, got out the real news, the real information, and countered the system. This is tailored, designed with the truth to wake up your friends and family. This is the 21st century version of the pamphleteers. So get them at InfoWarsShop.com or InfoWarsStore.com. Sign up and buy them in bulk. Sign up and be a micro distributor for a full year to buy them in bulk and get one of the newsstands added, or sign up and get 12 issues delivered to your door or give a gift subscription. Whatever you do, be part of the fight. And I want to salute and thank all of you that are subscribers and are getting the magazine in bulk, or who have ever come to InfoWarsStore.com and bought any of our products, because we are supported by patriots and liberty lovers like you. We couldn't do it without you.
Well, it's been 10 years since the Iraq War began. What, if anything, have we learned? I'm joined by Aaron Dykes and Darren McBreen. Well, guys, it's been 10 years, but it's not just a dry history discussion that we're having here, because we're seeing exactly the same kind of stuff happening today in Syria and trying to justify conflicts with Iran. What do you think about the similarity between 10 years ago and today in terms of public opinion?
Well, here's a headline right here. Syria rebels regime blaming each other for first alleged chemical weapons attack. We've heard them cooking this up for months. We've already had stuff like Wag the Dog. The media publishes a Photoshop forgery to sell the war. We had the lies about Syrian Danny, who faked being in gunfire. It's just a rehash of lie after lie after premeditated lie we saw in the buildup to Iraq and in the continued selling of it, as they obviously intended the occupation to go on basically indefinitely.
Yeah. What do you think, Darren? You think the public's buying it this time around?
They will. You know, yeah. A lot of them will, of course, you know, with the help.
Well, to the extent that they did last time, you know.
Absolutely. I think they will. Unfortunately, yeah. It's sad. And I'm guilty as far as, if you go all the way back to the first Gulf War, for example, I mean, I bought it hook, line, and sinker. You know, I mean, when I saw what they did is they rolled out, I don't know if you remember, but it was the babies from the incubators that they said the Iraq Republican Guard came in and threw, I forget how many, I think it was 90 or so babies out and dumped them out in the street. And it wasn't just, you know, hearsay. I mean, there was a congressman talking about it. Bush Sr. was talking about it. And then a young girl whose eyewitness testimony, 13 years old, or no, I think she was 15, up there giving, crying, very dramatic testimony.
Turned out to be a diplomat's daughter, just making stuff up.
The ambassador to Kuwait's daughter, and she took acting lessons, we hear, years later. So they go through great lengths to tell a lie.
And I'm glad you brought that up, too, because when I gave these, you know, we're talking about the cost of what happened with Iraq, and of course, the first thing is the cost in human lives. And I was talking about the official estimates from our government being 100,000 and then other people totaling up to 190,000. Those were direct, I guess, immediate casualties. But as you guys pointed out, if you go back and look at sanctions and other stuff, it's well over a million.
We've got at least a million of sanctions under the decade during Clinton and kind of the latter years of Bush 1, and then an estimated another million dead in civilian totals and everything during the Iraq War from 2003 on. You know, we know this from watchdog groups and people monitoring it, of course, not from official estimates in the government. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a continued lie that, oh, it's going to be over real quick. It's only going to cost this much money. It was how many times more in cost? It was
44
tremendously,
times more, yeah.
Tremendously more expensive, and they had to know that.
And then when we look at the casualty figures, there's a slow kill because of DU and that sort of thing with our troops, as well as the people in Fallujah. You look at the cancer rates there.
Horrible.
And the infant mortality and the birth defects. It is comparable, if not a little bit more, than Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
Yeah, what kind of weaponry did they use? I mean, it's, you know, it's hard to tell, but I mean, they're having severe problems with birth defects and that sort of thing. And, you know, what this reminds me of, this 10-year anniversary reminds me is, in 2003, I listen to Alex Jones and his team of reporters and as writers and on the Alex Jones show, they called it how it was. They said there is no weapons of mass destruction, you know, and Alex had Scott Ritter on the show, and it kind of reminds me of the same thing now. Here we are with the Department of Homeland Security and this massive arms buildup. We report it. Nobody else pays any attention except for Drudge.
Mm-hmm.
A few weeks later, Lou Dobbs is commenting on it. Sarah Palin, and then Forbes. But once again, you know, just like back in 2003 with the run-up to the Iraq War, InfoWars is on top of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's hope that the same thing this time around, let's hope that we've got a little bit more of a footprint. I mean, we're already seeing an effect with the DHS ammo purchases, right? This is starting to break. It has been picked up by the mainstream media as well as the congressman, as we reported on earlier
today.
That's
right. That's right.
So, I mean, we're having more of an effect now. InfoWars, Alex Jones has a much wider footprint, and so maybe, you know.
It is worth noting, though, back in 2003, I was in college then, while a lot of the TV watching public bought the lies hook, line, and sinker, it was pretty transparent to a lot of people if they were paying attention at all, really regardless of their stripes, because there were massive protests against the Iraq War, even in February before the war launched in March. I protested against it in March at the time, and a lot of people did. A lot of people saw through it, and it was difficult to watch those lies, but I guess you tell them enough and they become accepted. Well, and then once those lies are exposed, they spin new lies.
And even back then, though, you could see the power of the left-right paradigm, because it was a lot of the liberals and a lot of the left that weren't buying it, and they were the ones that were prominently out there protesting it, while a lot of, you know, I have friends that are conservatives, they were all for it. You know,
that's true. Yeah.
They wanted to go in there. And sadly, I'll never forget watching TV when, you know, it was 2003 and they started bombing Iraq, and I could hear neighbors up and down my block cheering like a football game was going on.
Yeah,
so those bombs are going off. So
shocking.
I really thought it. Yeah, shocking on indeed.
Yeah. They didn't see the scheme.
Well, if we want to review some of the specific headlines about some of the specific lies, you had things like in 2005, the Downing Street memo came out. The media, CNN, among others, spun it and tried to act like, well, the war was just inevitable. No, the document specifically leaked from Downing Street, of course, in Britain, with the correlation between Tony Blair and George Bush, that military action was seen as inevitable. Bush wanted to remove Saddam through military action justified by conjunctive terrorism and WMD. But the intelligence and facts were being fixed around the policy. And then you had countless people warning about this deception. We just had a memo that broke a few weeks ago in 2013 where you had Rumsfeld with this memo about, should we say Saddam's moving against the Kurds? Should we say that Saddam's connection to September 11th was discovered, or the anthrax attacks? Should we have a dispute over the WMD inspections? Of course, we know they went with the WMD. It was a naked lie. You had a lot of people warning from within the Bush administration, like Treasury Secretary O'Neill, that they were planning the Iraq invasion before 9/11. You had others, too. You had George Tenet, who later wrote a book about it. You had other documents that showed they were planning Iraq ahead of 9/11. And, of course, we know that from studying things like the Project for a New American Century. The British knew that we were planning the Iraq War before 9/11, and it really just goes on and on and on. And I really want to get into this, the long-term geopolitical things. You can check out documentaries like Adam Curtis, who's a BBC reporter, The Power of Nightmares. He goes all the way back to the 60s, where guys like Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld, Cheney, these kind of guys, as they came into power with these various presidents, they had been building up the Muslim extremist element since the 60s, and they had something called Team B that for decades over-exaggerated the power of the Soviet Union so that they could justify a bigger and bigger Defense Department budget and so they could keep that Cold War going. Well, by the time that the Soviet Union falls in 91 officially, you had the emergence of the Wolfowitz Doctrine. In 1992, it became public. People like General Wesley Clark, who we're going to go to a clip here in a moment of, he was told within the Defense Department circa 1991 that they wanted to exert their geopolitical influence. They saw an opportunity with the fall of the Soviet Union, so they wanted to go after these chess pieces in the Caucasus states, in the Middle East, and other areas, Northern Africa, etc.
Well, look, we trained 100,000 Mujahideen, you know, under Bush Senior, and who among those? Osama bin Laden. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there you go. You know, trained CIA asset right there.
And we look at this, and it's like, who's benefited from this, right? It's not the American people. It's not the Iraqi people for sure, right? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the American people are not more secure. We live in a less secure world. There's blowback, as Ron Paul would point out. And look at the tremendous cost that we're going to be – we've paid a tremendous cost in human life, tremendous cost in financial things that are going to be paid for by generations. And yet, we have a military-industrial complex that did quite well off of all of this, didn't they?
And they've used false flags and all manner of lies to get us into these wars, knowing that it's so hard to get out of them.
I was just going to say we're creating blowback because we're making enemies.
I want people to see this clip. We've played it before. We've covered it. It was on Democracy Now. It was on Fora TV. But here's the headline. We're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, among them Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Iran. And I don't even think that list is exhaustive. But obviously there's designs on Iran. We've already done Iraq. Syria's happening right now. Libya was last year's news. Somalia and Sudan have had their own internal wars. We've been drone striking them in the name of terrorism. And Lebanon is tied with all these countries through the larger pretext of terrorism, and presumably we may be getting to them shortly. I want to roll this clip about how General Wesley Clark, I believe is a 4-star general. He ran for president in 2004. He was warned at the Pentagon from his buddies, from guys like Wolfowitz, from guys like Rumsfeld, that all this was coming.
I went through the Pentagon 10 days after 9/11, and an officer from the Joint Staff called me into his office and said, I want you to know, he said, sir, we're going to attack Iraq. And I said, why? He said, we don't know. And then I came back to the Pentagon about 6 weeks later. I saw the same officer. I said, why haven't we attacked Iraq? We still going to attack Iraq? He said, oh, sir. He says, it's worse than that. He said, I just got this memo from the Secretary of Defense's office. It says we're going to attack and destroy the governments in 7 countries in 5 years. We're going to start with Iraq, and then we're going to move to Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Iran.
Well, it's like so many things that the government does. You know, we have the public understands that there's, or believes that there's one justification or one agenda. And the government's got a completely different agenda. I mean, look at education, for example. You know, we're thinking that we're sending our kids to school so they can learn to read and write. They're getting sent to school so they can be trained to trust the government and be trained to live in a police state, essentially. And we see the same thing with the war on drugs, you know, but these guys have got a different agenda than what we've got.
They've got a geopolitical agenda, and it's long-term strategy. And again, the clip goes on. This was the stuff he was told immediately after 9/11, but then he reminisces on the things he was told in 1991, which I already mentioned, the Wolfowitz Doctrine, and how Wolfowitz personally told him they had designs on these countries. Mm-hmm. And again, in the year 2000, you know about this, Darren, before 9/11, we had the formation of the Project for a New American Century, headed by William Kristol of the Weekly Standard, but Wolfowitz was in there. Cheney was in there.
Same list.
One of the Bushes was in there.
And the same list.
It's the same agenda. They wanted to be the first and last superpower. They saw an opportunity with the Soviet Union gone. They knew a new one would be rising. I guess that's China. Might have been someone else. And they wanted to take opportunity with it while they could. And they said they were going to have multi-theater wars. And, of course, they needed a new Pearl Harbor-like pretext.
Yeah.
So Americans look at this basically and say, you know, how did we screw up so badly? You know, we spent all this money, all these lives, and here we've got a government that's more friendly to Iran than ever, right? Same thing we'd look at with the educational system or whatever. But we don't understand, the American public doesn't understand, that there's an agenda here, and they're getting exactly what they intended. Let's close up this discussion, and we'll talk a little bit about this media complicity. You know, we look at CNN. The one that you started out with was a Downing Street memo, Aaron, and that memo, when they were reporting it, they started reading it, and then they abruptly stopped at the point where they said that Bush wanted to have this, you know, done through a military justification. They just stopped reading it. So basically, they read a little bit of the truth, but we didn't get the whole truth. And when you cut out the whole truth, basically you've got a lie. We're still seeing that happening today. There's not much coverage about the 10-year anniversary, and when CNN covers it, they put stuff up like a story about Jessica Lynch, for example. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pat Tillman, all these lies. Curveball came out, admitted the WMDs were false. And isn't it shameful? 10 years and they're still not done. They'll say it's not a war. It's still a war. Darren, you've covered it in your special reports. We saw the fake news during the Gulf War. They're still doing fake news.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was just going to touch on UN Ambassador Joseph Wilson.
Oh, that's right.
Went
out
there, and Bush told him to investigate the yellow cake from Niger, saying that Saddam Hussein was attempting to buy the yellow cake to make nuclear weapons. And he came back and he said, look, I got nothing. You know, I have a whole team of investigators. We got nothing. And then...
So they outed his wife, huh?
Well, a couple days later, Bush is doing a address to the nation, and he mentions that Saddam Hussein tried to buy yellow cake from Niger. And, you know, Wilson's back home along with the CIA folks that were out there investigating all this time, and they just couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, my God, he's lying to everyone right in front of our faces. So then a couple of days later, Wilson went on Meet the Press and told them, you know, say, hey, this is not what happened. You know, there's really not, Saddam did not try to purchase yellow cake. And what happened a couple of days later, that's when the Valerie Plame got outed through the media that she was a CIA asset. Valerie Plame being Joe Wilson's wife. And so they put her in a lot of danger. And the guys that were in the CIA that were working along with her, they were in danger. They had to shut down companies that were CIA front companies, you know. So, and what was their...
retribution.
What was their purpose? Was to stop weapons of mass destruction from coming into the country, you know, from like terrorists and all that. So, I mean, absolutely treasonous what the Bush administration did.
Well, they say people who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. And so let's just hope that this is such recent history. Let's hope that the American people don't fall for it a second time. You know, the old saying, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. Let's hope that people learn something from this. And let's hope that, just like we're starting to see with the ammunition purchases, let's hope that maybe the truth is going to get out this time. Maybe InfoWars and alternative media is going to be able to get the truth out that the mainstream media won't do.
Yeah, wake up, folks. Turn off your TVs and check out InfoWars and alternative media.
And people made the argument these wars were to install central banks in the final countries that didn't have central banks. And you see things like Paul Bremer's 100 orders, which is basically a corporatist occupation of Iraq, all the way down to mandating GMO seeds and just everything. It's
yeah. Well, thank you guys. Appreciate
thanks.
It. Thanks. Great job. Well, we are in an info war, and we're in an info war so that we don't have to fight real wars. And you can help us get that information out by becoming a Prison Planet TV subscriber. You can help to get that information out to other people. 10 people at a time can watch it. Of course, you can pass it out to more people than that. It's more important than ever. Because the government's MO, the government's agenda is not changing. As you heard Aaron Dykes talk about, they've had a long-term agenda of countries to go into and overthrow for quite some time. This is not an agenda of providing more security for the United States, but this is an agenda for bankers, an internationalist agenda. You need to educate people about that. Best way you can do that is to support InfoWars through Prison Planet TV or buying products from the InfoWars store. All of that helps to fund our operation. Well, that's it for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.